Do we matter?
And of course, we live in a culture where we're always trying to define that, aren't we? We're inundated with commercials and, images, right, on TV, how to look good, how to where you ladies wear your makeup and, what we wear, don't wear, what we drive and don't drive, and all those things try to, answer this gnawing heart need that we matter. In Genesis, there's a story in the garden, right? Adam and Eve. They walked around, folks, with no clothes on. They did. Now, you and I don't get that, because I'm wearing clothes, okay? And I'm comfortable in my clothes because they what? They cover me. I don't want to be standing up here without any clothes on. And all of us are like that. They are covering us. And there's a reason why we're wearing clothes. But Adam and Eve did not wear any clothes. They didn't have any shame. Now that boggles my mind, because everybody in this room at some point in their life, you've felt the sting of shame. And even getting more to the root of what I want to just share with you is that the you matter root is that they mattered. They knew they mattered. They reveled in the fact that they mattered. And where did they get that from? They got it outside themselves, and it came from their Creator. He walked with them every day, folks. I mean, came down, walked, and talked with them. Wasn't a church service. I talked about gardening, zoology, naming the animals. Right? They had this wonderful relationship going on. And so did Adam and Eve. They loved each other. There's no shame in their relationship. There's no conflict in their relationship. There is no anxiety in their angst in their relationship between a man and a woman, and their Creator. Because they knew they mattered. And then that day came when they weren't sure if the person outside of themselves, God, knew that they mattered or cared that they mattered or how he saw them. Because after they bite from the apple, and the apple, by the way, is not a magical apple. Nothing physiologically happened to them when they ate the apple. It was what was going on within their souls. That somehow in their thinking, they no longer trusted in that relationship and began to color who God was. And so that relationship was damaged. So much so that they no longer could hear that they mattered. This was trauma of the worst kind to our parents, Adam and Eve. We all have that in common. We're all of the same family, really. And it has been passed down to us, and we're lost, We're lost. We're not sure that we matter. And so, if you noticed, all of us, so it is all of us look outside ourselves for affirmation, for confirmation that what? That we matter. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's how we're designed. That's how we are created for that. But what happens to us when we trust somebody or a group of people and all of a sudden we don't matter anymore? What happens when you grow old enough and you may be in a nursing home and you're forgotten. And you don't matter anymore. What happens when you're an orphan and you're never adopted? You see kids come and go. You don't matter. Well, let me tell you what we're going to do with that kind of pain. Because that's real pain, isn't it? We're going to try to reach for something or somebody to do something with that pain. Because it's intense pain. It's pain of soul. And so we do. So we have drugs and drinking and partying. But not just that. We have, you know, highly performance-oriented people where we decided that we're going to, darn it, we're going to matter. We're going to have the biggest house, the biggest car, the biggest checkbook. Right? And so we go on this journey to matter. In the Gospel of John, in his story, in the first chapter, John goes through great lengths, when you read that first part of his story, to declare who Jesus is. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life." In him is what matters. Because John goes on, his whole narrative is about that. His whole narrative is what life is, not religion, which is our way of trying to matter. You know, he told the Jewish people who he was a part of, he was a Jew, he said, "You see this temple? Not one stone will be left on top. It's going to be torn down." And when you go to the letter of Hebrews, there's a small contingent of believers there. And most scholars say that the temple wasn't torn down at the time of that writing. And that whole letter, if you really look at it, it's the old is gone, the new has come. What you thought mattered, this is what matters. This was speaking of that. The temple, the feast, the sacrifices, Moses, Mount Sinai, all that experience of the Jewish people was a context for this. But the Jews were holding on to this with all their might. And the Romans came in and devastated everything. Deported most of the Jews all over the world. Tore down the temple. Tsunami had come. You don't matter. Let me just not get off the subject, but I think it's part of it. Racism, like anti-Semitism, you don't matter where we beat up another group of people. Right? You don't matter. Where's that coming from? Well, I want to matter. For me to feel like I matter, you don't. Is that broken or what? Is that distorted thinking or what? It's because we're lost. I'm just trying to get at the root of it here. You know? So John says, this person that's coming, he's the light of the world, the cosmos. He is the way, the truth, the life. And by the time you get down into verse 29, he talks about John the Baptist. He says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said," look at this statement, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, it's interesting to me that the word sin there, harmatia, and I'm not a scholar here, so I probably pronounced it wrong, harmatia or something like that, in Greek, it's a Greek word, but and it was later translated to mean sin. So when you read it, sin, but sin means missing the mark, basically. You know, you did it wrong yet again. You know? But I like the usage of the word. The Greeks used it in their plays. And they had a knack for writing, and I love to write, you know. So they wrote these plays they called tragedies. Okay? And in the tragedy was a character, the main character, whether male or female, was a good person, but they had a flaw. And that flaw always messed them up. It turns into a tragedy. That's the word here. So if I could just put that word in here. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the tragedy of the world, or the great flaw. So you and I have this great flaw. All of us do. We don't think we matter. And we do some of the most bizarre, dysfunctional, toxic things to make that right. John knows that, and he's writing about it. He's in it. And he says, takes away the tragic flaw of the world. This person that he's writing about, this Jesus, this Lamb of God, this Word of God, this way, the truth, the life, this God incarnate come in the flesh, has come into not just your tragedy, meaning your story, because we all have our story. Our life is a story. But he's come into our story. Now, what do I mean by come into? He's come in the flesh. He's incarnated. He's become like you, like me. And he's human. He's in the story. He's not, God's come, we all know that, and Jesus, and we know the Christmas story all the way through Easter. And we know what he's going to do. He's going to be born, he's going to do his thing, and he's going to die on the cross, and we get to go to heaven. That's not even 101, folks. That doesn't even touch the good news here. He's come into our thinking, how we think. That's the only way he can get to us. He's come into our everyday lives, our everyday decisions and choices. He's there. And you know what he's there to say? Is he there to correct you? Yeah, well, correction's good. You know, but is he there to raise up a standard? And you go, well, come on. Come on. Is he there to chastise you when you fail? Is that the kind of papa he has? I already know those. I don't need one like that. Instead, he comes in, he says, no, you do matter. Because you know when you have doubts about yourself, doubts about your life, doubts about your future, fear and anxiety about what's going on in the world, all this stuff, right? Screaming, I matter, I matter. Can't you see that I matter? You know, Jesus comes in and says, yes, you do. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, the Spirit in you cries what? Abba, Father. If there's anything that we need to remember, just living out our lives, is that still small voice, at the end of the day, the beginning of the day, during the day, he's going to say, let me remind you, Abba Father. What is he saying? He says, you matter. Because he's answering what happened in the garden. And in this age, the Holy Spirit, if he has one purpose, is to get us through this to where we're going to be. How's he going to get us through this? because you're going to have crises of faith. I've seen people with great faith get hit by a couple tsunamis. I've been hit by some tsunamis. Okay? Guess what? You really quickly find out how small you are in the ocean of life. Right? Find out how strong you're not. Thought you were strong. Thought you could weather this. Thought you could do this. And then what you're doing is holding on to the wreckage of your life floating in the sea. That's what you're doing. That's okay. That is okay. Because you know what the Holy Spirit's going to say? Is he going to say, shouldn't have got on that boat. Shouldn't have made that decision. He's going to shit all over you. I said should. You know, did you ever have people like that? You should have done this. You should have done that. You should have. You should have. You should have. Don't be one of those people. It's easy to be an armchair quarterback and look at somebody's life and go, well, you should have done that. Well, gee, what are you, the oracle? I know that. That's not what I need to hear. What I need to hear is Abba, Father. Because the should have is attacking my sense of being. The should have's are saying, you're not. That's what the should have's are saying. You're not. And Adam and Eve, can you imagine that they had total security, total assurance, total peace, no shame, no clothes. The clothes come on to cover the shame. The clothes come on to cover the fear of not knowing who they were anymore. The clothes come on to cover, we know there's a God. They knew there was a God, but they tarred his face. Started turning him into a mythological God. Have you ever been slandered before? This is a rhetorical question, but meaning that someone has said things about you weren't true. That's how we are towards him. We've slandered him. Adam and Eve slandered him. The devil slandered God. He'd already slandered. He was born in heaven. He was born looking to Abba's eyes. He too had no shame. He too has shame. The fallen angels, they have shame. They don't know who they are either. Yet Jesus comes, who created all things and reconciles all things to the Father. That's an interesting theological question, isn't it? Are they going to know again? I don't know, maybe. It's open. Open for discussion. A Jesus who restores your identity, my identity, the identity of creation. I mean, we're talking about a big Jesus here. That God in Christ reconciles all things to himself. Wow. I mean, this news is good news. You know, I was telling my sister Trudy on the way here, I said, you know, I think as the church, a lot of times really all we have to say is, you know, get saved so you don't go to hell. What kind of message is that? Really? Is that all we have to say? You know, I talk to a lot of people and converse. This is one of my muse I'm sharing with you. Is this being recorded? Okay, good. Yeah, really. You know, and I said, you know, the crisis we're having right now with the Islam and Muslims and stuff. You know, and I was listening to one Muslim and on TV, and he was talking about how. It was on Facebook, and it was a video out of Britain. And this Muslim cleric was talking to a British woman who was trying to converse with him. And he said, well, He said, the truth of the matter is, basically he said, you're fuel for the fires of hell if you don't convert. Well, that's not too much of a difference between the Christian message. Not the gospel, but the message in the church. You see, that message is not going to address our problem, that you matter. What it's saying is, yeah, unless you do A, you've got hellfire and damnation. You are going to hell. But does not address the problem. And it doesn't address the issue. It doesn't address the answer. And the answer is that you matter. I matter. If the Son of God is going to incarnate, if he's going to come down here, as Paul says, he stoops. He stoops. He's created, he allows himself to be created in a human's womb. He allows himself to be a helpless baby to finally reach us, to be one of us. This is a passionate God on a mission. If he's going to do all that, then surely the message is more than what we've been saying. Surely the message is he's entered into the great flaw, the tragic story of his creation, and rightly so, because he's the only one that can take responsibility for it and fix it. So his fix, his answer, the Lamb of God who takes away the flaw of the world. He picks it up, takes it to himself, nails it on the cross, puts it in the ground and buries it. In his humanity, the vicarious man, the man who's you and you and you and you and you, he is you. Everything that you're not, he is. So relax. That's the good news. And he leaves it in the ground. He says, and so Paul, he's going crazy. Okay? He's seeing a vision that is so immense that he can hardly write about, but he's given grace to write about it. He says things like, you've been seated in heavenly places in Christ. What does that mean, except for the fact that Jesus has taken your place individually, corporately, and has become everything that you and I aren't, establishes the relationship again with Abba, right? Releases the Holy Spirit, comes down here, because the incarnation establishes a relationship now. It establishes the context. It's his world. It's not the devil's world. It's not our world. It's his. And he is at work bringing the reality of that reconciliation into your life and into this world. And Paul goes on to say that in the fullness of time, he will bring all things under one head, even Christ. Oh, that's glorious. The UN isn't going to do it. The president, nobody's going to do it. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is going to do it. Shiloh, to whom it belongs, right? The Prince of Peace, Almighty God, Wonderful Father. I love that out of Isaiah. You will sit on the throne of your father, David. And the increase of your government will never end. Man, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be restored. I think we'll be wearing clothes, though. Maybe not. All I know is whatever they have, we're going to have. I can almost kind of feel it, taste it. But it's hard. Because I struggle, like you struggle. I struggle with, do I matter? You know, things are going okay. All of a sudden, boom, things are not going okay. All these thoughts come into your mind, right? What did I do? right? And the devil's right there saying, yeah, you don't matter. You'll never matter. You'll never live up to it. You'll never live up to him. I think is she okay? All right. I was waiting for that. You know, Job. You know that whole story. You know, at the end of the story, he comes to the end of himself, and he realizes that it's not about me. Really, he does. He comes to the end of himself, and God says, I love you, Job. I'm going to restore you. And he just does it out of grace. Yeah. So this is good news, isn't it? Is this good news? You know? This is what we were created for. We were created to be assured, to know that we matter. So I hope whatever, I don't know what you're struggling with in your life, or maybe you're doing okay today. You know, maybe you're going, oh, it was okay what he talked about. But I hope that if that time comes when what your sense of matter is challenged or completely the bottom falls out of your life and you're assailed with thoughts, do I matter? And how you cope with that, too, you'll remember this. Because it will help you navigate your life. This isn't about perfection. This isn't about doing everything right. Let go of that. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. What you have to do, you're like a sailor. Navigate your life. Or a marine. Navigate your life. Learn to be a good navigator. The Holy Spirit's with you. Learn to know that your North Star, your compass, is you matter. In Christ, you're in Christ. You matter. He's restoring what was lost so that you matter. And then out of that, navigate and live your life. Amen? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you for settling on us this morning like the morning dew. That it just comes. That you're just there. That you're the fulfillment of what Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, leaving you by yourself, standing there. Thank you for defining us each day in the image of your Son, Father. Thank you, the Holy Spirit is the artist, the shaper. And thank you that you're able to use all things to work together for that good. Lord, I just thank you for these precious people that are here this morning. I pray that you'll take these words that come out of this human mouth and that you'll make them real and good and take them into the place of heart and soul, Lord, to bring your purposes and your will in your lives. And Father, we bless Don and Sue. We pray, Lord, that you are speaking to them and refreshing them. And that they come back here, Lord, with energy and a word from you. And Father, I just pray blessing upon this church, Peninsula Vineyard. I pray that, Lord, you would bring your purposes, your will, your fire into this body. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great day.